Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
I welcome all of you affectionately to this Gaura Lila or Gaura meditation evening, where we're trying to go deeper into the teachings, the pastimes, and the legacy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today we will deal with two points which Mahaprabhu emphasized in his teachings. First of all, the role of transcendental shastra in revealing that which is beyond our senses. And second of all, the amazing nature of his devotees who seem to have access to a place where ordinary people cannot go, and who therefore can also bring us forward to that transcendental realm, which will remain a theory forever if we do not have help to reach there. First of all, I would like to make the point that scriptures and devotees are necessary in order to approach the spiritual truth, because the absolute truth has four qualities which make it very easily understandable that we need something else than our logic and our mind in order to understand it. First of all, the Lord is Sarvatita, beyond everything. Second of all, he is Sarva Ashraya. That means he accommodates everything. Everything is in him. He's the origin of everything. He maintains everything. And in him, everything is dissolved. Third quality is the Lord is Sarva Achintya, totally incomprehensible. We need here a logic if we want to understand the incomprehensible, that is able to deal with opposites, with paradoxes even. And finally, the Lord is Sarvashaya Svabhava, or completely surprising. If it doesn't surprise you again and again, it's most probably not the Lord, but only your concept, your limited understanding of the Lord. So the scriptures, which have been seen by the rishis, are therefore necessary. When we read transcendental scriptures, I believe we do not really understand what they are, because they use a language that we are not accustomed. Many times they use the samadhi bhashya. Bhashya means language, and samadhi means trance, something that you see in another state of consciousness. Look at Vyasadeva. When he went into his meditation, he came into the trance, the samadhi, and there he saw the Lord and a little behind him, standing as if shy to approach Maya. Or in the 10th canto, study Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami talks about things which he sees in trance. He talks to his disciple Parikshit Maharaj how Mother Yashoda ran very swiftly behind her little boy, and while she tried to catch Krishna, the hairs were falling from, not the hairs, the flowers were falling out of her hair, touching her feet, as if saying to the feet, stop, 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 don't try to catch God. How did he know all this? How did he describe all this? It was in a deep state of transcendental realization that he sought, and he used therefore a language which is not the language which you use in order to describe things of this world which are comprehensible to the mind. He used the trance language. There is a particular interesting part in the 12th chapter of the 10th canto where Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadev Goswami a question which propels him into a state of trance. It says here, when Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami in this way, Shukadev Goswami started to immediately remember subject matters about Krishna within the core of his heart and externally lost contact to his senses. It is described, he fainted. He was so much in samadhi that he went deeper and deeper and lost the contact with his body. He fainted so much that he regained his external consciousness only after Narada Muni and Vyasadev came with vompas and karatals and drums and sang loud kirtan in his ear, so that he came to the normal consciousness. My point here is, Shastras deal with inconceivable matters, that is the Lord, who's Sarvatita, totally beyond everything, and they are spoken or seen by transcendentalists who are also totally beyond the normal consciousness. They are in samadhi. Therefore, scriptures are so important in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's revelation. Now, let us hear how he valued the scriptures. During the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Rangachetra, he visited every day the spacious temple. And there, in a courtyard, he saw a scene. Every day he saw the same scene. There was a Brahmana, not very expert in Sanskrit, who tried to read the entire 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, but with entirely wrong pronunciation. But in the temple, there are usually many pandits, priests, pujaris, who chant the Vedic hymns in perfect rhyme and meter and accentuation. And they used to gather around this Brahmana, hearing how he would try to pronounce things. Aham Shavasya. And they laughed about him. So much so that a whole crowd formed standing around the Brahmana, who simply seemed to not notice that he was ridiculed and who continued to read. Now, in this crowd was a tall sannyasi who had become the talk of the whole town. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. And he looked at the Brahmana, and tears accumulated in his eyes. One day, after the Brahmana had finished, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him. And he said, "I see you every day here reciting the entire Bhagavad Gita. But you seem to not know Sanskrit. Your pronunciation is so wrong. People laugh at you. You don't seem to mind. You seem to be so absorbed that I see there are tears in your eyes. Your hairs stand on end, and the deep sentiments, you perspire. Why are you in this state of mind? This is the state of bhava, the highest high level of love. Which portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you so much ecstasy? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the Bhagavad Gita was written in a different level of consciousness, and therefore to truly understand it, a devotional understanding in the heart is necessary. So the Brahmana first wanted to avoid the subject. He said, see, I have gotten an order from my Guru Maharaj. He said, you just simply every day complete one reading of the Bhagavad Gita verses. And I do it. I have faith. Yes, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but you're not reading like these pandas or pandits who also study the Gita. You are reading with ecstatic symptoms. Then the Brahmana, looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and seeing he could confide his inner heart, said something so beautiful that I like to read it to you. He said, actually, I only see Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer, taking the reins in his hands. He appears so very beautiful, and he's blackish. When I see Lord Krishna sitting in the driver's seat of the chariot and instructing Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm filled with ecstatic happiness. As long as I read the Bhagavad Gita, I simply see the Lord's beautiful features. It is actually for this reason that I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita and my mind simply cannot be distracted from this wonderful scene. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the Brahmana's explanation, he could immediately, he had seen already, but he said immediately, indeed, when it comes to reading the Shastras or the Bhagavad Gita, you are the authority. Whatever you see is the real inner essence of the Bhagavad Gita. See, it's not about words. Don't stumble and stop with your mind at the words. Go a little bit deeper. Come a little bit closer to spiritual reality. And what you will see is the deep meaning of the Lord's language, of the descriptions of the Lord. And that is seen when the heart is purified and when you see in samadhi and understand in samadhi the samadhi bhashya of the scriptures. How could the scriptures be something else? Ordinary literature? No. Why would the saints and rishis, the greatest mystics, recite them if they would be ordinary words? Why would the Lord speak them? Do you think the Lord, who has a voice like rolling thunder, means it reaches you? Do you think he is ordinary and uses ordinary words? He uses transparent words. He uses words which we can connect with, but then we have to go deeper and realize their meaning. So when the Brahmana saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rushed forward and embraced him. And he started to cry, and he said, upon seeing you, the happiness which I see in my vision when I see Krishna is doubled. I can only conclude that you must be the Supreme Lord Krishna. See, it takes one to recognize one. It takes a pure devotee to recognize the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this Brahmana in his confidence. And he stayed 4 months in Rangachetra. He visited during this time the temple. And he spent a time in the company each day with the Brahmana. The Brahmana became a great devotee, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him in the deeper secrets of the Shastras. But he also told him one thing: please do not disclose your inner heart and do not tell others about me what you have realized. This is one example of one great devotee reading the sacred scripture. I would like to give you today a second example that happened immediately afterwards. When the 4 months of the rainy season had gone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Rangachetra for good. He had left a great gift there, pure love of Krishna. And still the people talk about his visit. He had also met Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was still a young boy and whom he had ordered to go to Vrindavan, where he would later meet Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and help them in order to write the corpus of Chaitanya literature and thus lay the foundations of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But then Lord Chaitanya, not attached to any place, left early in the morning. He would never return to Rangachetra and his many devotees. He moved on the road singing his song, Krishna, 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 Pahimam, save me. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, oh, protect me. And singing like this and dancing on the road, he arrived in the town which is now known as Madurai. In the outskirts, he met another Brahmana who was living in the forest. And this Brahmana saw the Lord and said, oh, please come today after your noon bath and respect your food at my hut. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in the nearby river and he came at the appointed time, but when he looked, he saw there were no meals prepared. He said, you have invited me for a meal? The Brahmana said, well, we are living in the forest here, and Lakshman goes out to get provisions, roots, vegetables, fruits. But sometimes nothing is close by, and therefore it takes longer please wait. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the Brahmana speak like this, he could understand that the Brahmana was a devotee of Ram, but he could understand also something else, which we will teach in another Gora meditation, but just to say, he understood that this Brahmana did Manasi Seva, that means in meditational trance, he would envision Mother Sita, Ram and Lakshman, and he would stay by their side and experience everything that went on in their Leela, in his divine vision which he had in the meditation. So on that day, it seemed Lakshman came later, and yes, all of a sudden the Brahmana started to cook and prepared a forest meal and served it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating, but he noticed, "You're not eating?" "Oh no," said the Brahmana, "how can I eat? Mother Sita has been kidnapped by the evil demon Ravan. My heart is so sad. It burns day and night. But still, I cannot leave this wretched body." "Oh," said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "you are a Brahmana. You should know better. Mother Sita is entirely transcendental and spiritual. How can a being of this world, a Rakshasa, Ravan, lay hands on the transcendental personality of Mother Sita? It was not Mother Sita which Ravana kidnapped. It was an illusory form of Mother Sita, a Maya Sita, which Sita produced and which Ravan took hold of. Trust my words and eat." So the Brahmana, being convinced by Mahaprabhu's, how do you say, charisma maybe, or his influence, started to eat. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loves his devotees very, very much. And he continued his journey, and during one journey, a little later, he arrived in a place called Danustirtha. There was a temple of Lord Rama nearby, and he took rest. And when he awoke, he saw that there were some Brahmanas reading from the scripture. They were sharing, they were relishing the Kurma Purana, where it is stated, I quote, "Shrimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Among chaste women, she is supreme, and she is the daughter of King Janaka." And then the explanation. "When Ravana came to kidnap Mother Sita and she saw him, she took shelter of the fire god Agni." "Oh, Agni, help me, help me, help me." The fire god at that time covered the body of Mother Sita, and in this way she was protected from the hands of Ravana. Sita was covered by fire. "The fire god Agni took away the real Sita then and brought her to the place of Parvati or Goddess Durga. An illusory form of Mother Sita was then delivered to Ravana, and in this way Ravana was cheated. And then it ends by describing how when finally the demon Ravan was slain, this illusory form of Sita was brought before the fire and disappeared in the fire, and from the fire came forth Agni, bringing the real Sita into Lord Ramachandra's hand. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he was very, very happy. And he thought of that Ram Bhakta who had behaved in that transcendental way, first inviting him and then saying, I have nothing, Lakshman has not come back. Just wait, wait, when he's back, we will be able to cook. He remembered it and he told to the Brahmana that this part, let us copy it. And then he said, I give you the copy and you please give me the original text of the Koma Purana. He had something in mind. He wanted to bring that original copy, not something which had been written afterwards, that old manuscript he wanted to bring to the devotee Beck, who was maybe a little bit convinced by his words, but who needed a proof directly from the Koma Purana. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned on his return way, he had this one devotee in his mind, this one Ram Bhakta, and he came and he described to him how he had participated in the reading from the Koma Purana and how he had secured the original copy to prove beyond all doubts that Mother Sita had not been touched by Ram. There was no reason to be sad in any way. My dear devotees, I'm describing this in some detail with a certain intention. I want to show you how important in Chaitanya's teaching the scriptures are. And I want to also show you how endearing his relationship with each single devotee was. Mahaprabhu once quoted something. He said something. He said, he quoted a verse, Aham vedmi shuko veti, vyaso veti na veti va, bhaktya bhagavatam grayam na budhyana chatikaya. In this verse, it is said that you can only understand the scriptures through bhakti, through this ecstatic devotion in your heart. Otherwise, the scriptures remain incomprehensible because they deal with an incomprehensible truth. Here he said, I may know, said Lord Shiva, Shukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasa, may know, and Vyasadev may know or may not know Srimad Bhagavatam. On the whole, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through bhakti, not by material intelligence, not by speculative methods, and not by imaginary commentaries. Mahaprabhu said also, let us understand the transcendental position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna. the Supreme Lord and the shelter of everything, Krishna, the shelter of everything. No? Everything comes from him, everything is maintained by him, and everything goes back in him. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. And then he quoted this verse, Krishna Svadhamupagati, that when Krishna disappeared from the world, confusion reigned, darkness came there. He looked back and said, I can't leave the world like this. And he manifested the Bhagavatam to give light to the people who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of the age of Kali, to spread auspiciousness to the people. So we can see, we can appreciate, wow, this Bhagavatam, all for that matter, all the scriptures are of great, great importance. And we can maybe see in our lives that we reserve some regular, steady time to touch the Bhagavatam, even if it's only one verse which we read. In this recommendation, I'm not so much thinking that it's necessary an intellectual thing to read the scriptures. It's a service to read them. And by that service, the scriptures reveal more and more of the Madhuratva, that is the sweetness of Krishna. In this way, we are relieved. There is help for us to get taste. I would like to now do a little Gora meditation so that we can end with thinking of Lord Chaitanya and singing a little bit about him, because we want to bring Lord Chaitanya in our heart. Let us first arrive a little bit, become a little bit present. Become aware of yourself as you sit down for this meditation on Gauranga. Let us arrive in the present moment and leave our day behind. The best way to become absolutely present is to put the potato chips away. They might be distracting, or whatever else is distracting, and stop multitasking. Start relaxing your lower body first. This is how you become present. Relax your toes. And your legs up to the knees. And from the knees, go slowly to the waist and relax that. Next, relax your body from the waist upwards. First, relax your spine. Then relax your upper back. Then relax your abdomen, chest, your shoulders, your arms, relax your palms, place them on your legs facing upwards, and then relax your head. First, your neck, then the back of your head, then the top of your head, then relax your face, your forehead, your eyes, your cheeks, your mouth, your chin. Now we are ready to bring our attention to our breathing. Just observe your natural breathing. Gently close your eyes if you have not done so already. Breathe in through your nose, gently. There's no effort required in breathing. Simply observe your breath. In and out. In and out. Our breath is our direct access to our mind. Calm breath, calm mind. Now gently bring your awareness to your heart. Imagine you're breathing in and out through your heart. Do this gently and smoothly. Now see in your heart a golden light rising. See it coming more and more to your conscious awareness. It is from this golden light that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his golden complexion, appears. See his face, shining splendidly as millions of moons. See his charming smile and his lotus eyes, shedding torrents of tears. The tears of pure love for Krishna, loving tears. See, now he raises his arms. He is dancing and trembling and calls in ecstatic bliss, Hari, Hari, keep this image of the Lord as you chant the beautiful names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
I so much like this image of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going on his journey and then finding this old Koma Purana. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur informs us that it's not even existent any longer in its entirety. There are only two chapters available of this book. So he's there, Mahaprabhu is there, sitting amongst the Brahmanas and hearing his devotees discuss the scripture. And he then thinks, this scripture, this part, this passage would give solace to the heart of this Ramvipra. And he makes the effort to copy it. It gives the copy to the Brahmanas and takes the original for his devotee. I like that Mahaprabhu is the friend, Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his devotees. That's one of his many names. And I also appreciate so much how he brought the scripture. I once had a person who was really having a strong disease. He was bedridden already for a month. So I read something in the morning in the Bhagavatam and I thought this would be just the right excerpt which would give life to this person. And I went with the Bhagavatam, sat down and said, yeah, I have to read this to you. You have to hear it. And I remember how grateful the devotee was. First for the gesture that someone came by, and second also for the content. Yes, the devotees are very special. I want to end today by telling you about Bhakta Kavi Gopal Krishna, a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his last poem. It was when he was 78 years old, the one day he knew, now I'm leaving this world. So he completed his morning devotional activities, then he started to chant his japa, sitting in perfect Padmasana, and wrote a poem where he described his meditation about his eternal spiritual form and how he would serve or meet Radha and Krishna. And I want to read you this poem so that you can understand why the Lord likes his devotees so much. He wrote, Shri Guru Datta Tanu Eva Hoy Junta Mora. If I receive my spiritual body given by Shri Guru Dev, then I will go with that spiritual body in Manasa, seva to Radhakund. There I will pay my humble obeisances. My body will thrill with joy, and tears of the greatest happiness will come from my eyes. I will look around and see the trees and creepers in the forest that stand on the bank of Radhakund, and I will go to them, knowing that they are very dear to Radha Krishna, and I will embrace each single one of them. I will pay my obeisances, and then I will see something. In the soft white sand at the banks of Radhakund, I will see the footprints of Radha and Krishna. Immediately I will roll down in that sand and cover my body with the sand. And then I will look up, and there I will see Radha and Krishna standing before me. I will feel unlimited joy. And then I will always stay at their lotus feet. If this could be our last words, I will go to Radhakund. I will embrace the trees. I will see the footprints of the Lord in the sand. Our life is certainly perfect. Then, when he had finished his daily quota, you know, his rounds, in other words, he took a pen and wrote one line on the wall of his kutia. One line only. Last words. Jiva jiva vela ka hoila saja radha govinda bhaja. Oh, jiva soul. Now you're going to leave this world. Pray to Radha Govinda. My dear devotees, how is this possible that an individual comes to such an exalted state of consciousness? How is it possible that someone born in this body, which is plagued by many distractions, can rise to such a platform? Well, you could try the way of your own effort, and you will see that your efforts are limited. You will come to a wall which you cannot cross on your own. But you could also take shelter in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Karuna avatar, who has come in this age to spread this love of Godhead. Some Jiva Goswami asked the question, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Nandanandana Krishna and Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, why did Mahaprabhu appear in Navadvip? And did his transcendental pastimes in Navadvip? And the answer is yes, he is Krishna. But he is Krishna in a special mood. The mood of sharing Krishna consciousness to the fallen souls without asking for anything except for a little faith, only this, a little shraddha, and then the Lord is so merciful. Hare Krishna. We have reached the end of our Gora meditation. I do hope everything went well with the technology. This was the first time where we tried to stream both on Facebook and on YouTube. I do hope that we went through the internet and found the right routes to go to the right pages and so on. I thank you very much for taking part in this. And yes, I want to request you. I will post on my Facebook a very special invitation for all of you. It will come tomorrow. No, today it will come. And then you will smile at the invitation, and I hope you will be there. See you very soon again, and Hare Krishna.